Hello and welcome to
Ghost Bees,
a horror podcast. I'm Todd, joined by my wife Becca and my cat Aries.
Hi.
Hi, Becca. We just watched Long Legs from 2024, directed by Oz Perkins, son of Anthony Perkins, which we just discovered. We saw Blackcoat's Daughter yesterday, so we are like now in the Oz Perkins camp with everybody else,
I feel like. Yeah, we're Oz heads now.
I guess we got left behind. But yeah, this is a movie. It's interesting because I feel like I've been hearing about this for a little while and people have been losing their fucking minds about it, and to the point where it was kind of, I was getting kind of sick of it. But it's because I wasn't super familiar with Oz Perkins and his work. We saw Hansel and Gretel. Gretel and Hansel? What was his called?
I think it's Gretel and Hansel.
Oh, he changed it up.
I'm not sure.
Okay. And that one was pretty good. That was like surprisingly good, I think. Mm-hmm. We'll have to watch that at some point for this. But I saw the trailers. I thought this looked really cool, but the hype was like fucking crazy for this.
Oh yeah.
And honestly, like some of the promotional stuff was getting on my fucking nerves too. Like, did you see the clip of Micah Monroe? Is that her name? Is that how you say it?
Yeah, I think so.
The clip of Micah Monroe, and it's like, oh, this is the first time that she saw Long Legs, and it's got her like live heartbeat and stuff. Did you see that?
No, I don't think I saw that.
I saw that circulating, and it's like that kind of shit is just so fucking corny to me. It's like it's adjacent to all the ads that are like, this movie made people pass out and leave the theater because they were so scared. Like, I'm so sick of all that. Like, yeah. It does the opposite for me.
Yeah, I agree. If this is like a PSA to people making
yeah
trailers.
For all of you listening who make trailers.
Yeah, all of you, all of the trailer editors we have right listening to this podcast. I'm so sick of people telling the whole goddamn story in the trailers.
Well, yeah, that too. Yeah.
Like, I just want to like touch on that. I'm like so over it. Like, give me an obscure trailer.
I think this one though, it did a really good job. If we're talking like just the trailers, I think the trailers for this were really good and weren't really. Yeah, I saw a few and they worked really well, especially the early ones. They showed like nothing.
I'm going to go back and watch them now.
You should. Especially like, I think the final trailer was like, that was the thing that made me really go, okay, this looks pretty cool. But without spoiling, if you're listening to this and you haven't seen the movie yet, it's been compared a lot to Seven. I think like, it's not really, I mean, it's like, it's a crime. It's got that kind of like dark crime horror thing going. There's a lot more going on in this, I think, though.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got Micah Monroe back. She obviously, she's like, I feel like she broke out with It Follows and was fucking fantastic in that. She was also in that movie Significant Other we saw, which was like surprisingly good. And I don't think people really talk about it.
Yeah.
So it's great seeing her back. She's great in this. And then it's got Nicolas Cage playing the like killer, quote unquote, in this.
I don't know. I feel like that's a spoiler. I feel like
I think everyone knows that. Okay. That's the big thing that's like being promoted, is like that it's a Nicolas Cage role, but it's like even that I think was handled super well in the promotional stuff because they were kind of hiding how he looks in this, which I think is a good idea.
Very good idea.
And, you know, without going into spoilers just yet, I will say that is one of the standout things in this is like, because Nicolas Cage, I mean, look, we're cage heads. I don't think you were a cage head in the beginning.
No, you made me a cage head.
I made you a cage head.
You converted me.
Yes. So we all know that he's a fucking nut and he can play these insane roles. And yeah, seeing him in this movie that is otherwise like very serious and very dark, and he's being his like crazy cage self, it just fucking, it works really well. I think he's perfect for this. But like, I think the risk is that, you know, he can wind up carrying the movie, and I don't think he does. I think like there is a lot going on in this movie that works, and I think he's just like a part of that that works super well. And yeah, I was super fucking impressed with this movie. I think like, yeah, if you've seen Blackcoat's Daughter, it has a similar kind of dark mood to it. I think it's a more like straightforward story. You know, Blackcoat's Daughter was a movie that's like, it can be kind of hard to follow and it kind of jumps around in some weird ways. This is more of a like straightforward crime thriller. Like, it really keeps you wondering the whole time, like, what is going on? Like, they're dropping all these weird clues, and the movie is just super, super dark. And it's constantly throwing stuff at you that you're just wondering, like, what is going on here, you know? I mean, how do you feel about it?
I love it. Loved it so much. And I really, if you're going to see Long Legs, I would highly recommend seeing Black Coat's Daughter, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think the way that it worked out for us, like, watching that and then watching this, so good.
I think there are some unusual ways that they tie together,
yeah.
Which it was one of those things where I was reading stuff before we recorded, and I had a like moment where my mind was kind of blown, and it was like, shit. But we watched Black Coat's Daughter yesterday and this today, so we haven't had a lot of time to like process that stuff. But they actually do. There is like a tie between them that we'll talk about when we get to spoilers. But overall, I mean, I can't really say if it lives up to the hype or anything, since I wasn't like super hyped about it the way a lot of people were. But for me, it surprised me and kind of exceeded my expectations. And I just, I enjoyed the hell out of it for sure. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we get into spoilers?
No, we can just go.
I don't know how much is considered a spoiler for people, so it's like kind of hard to talk about this one, but
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, if you're a fan of movies like Seven, I mean, that's like it's the corniest comparison to make. It's like the most normie comparison, I guess. But if you like those kind of dark crime thrillers, and this one maybe has a little bit of like paranormal stuff added on, which won't go too far into that.
Mm.
But it's dark, it's scary. And it's a really cool mystery. I really enjoyed it.
I did too.
Okay. So let's just spoil it then. Let's get to it. So I'll just get it out of the way right now. Like, the thing that I was like not super thrilled with initially is they're playing with this mystery the whole time, because they set it up in this really interesting ways that it's basically about like, this is something I kind of learned about recently. Have you heard about, like, the whole family annihilation thing?
No.
It's kind of like this classification of, like, these certain murders where someone kills their family and themselves, and it's just, like, full-blown annihilation. It's like, you know, wiping a family off the map. So that's, like, there's a term for that now.
Oh.
Which sucks.
Okay. It's like murder suicide, but not?
Yeah. It's
that's creepy.
It's scary, yeah.
What's so creepy, I don't know, we don't have to include this, but okay. That literally happened like a couple months ago, like...
Here?
Yeah, and it was religious shit.
Yeah, oh boy.
I'm not a true crime girly anymore. That shit is not for me.
Yeah,
but
I'm not really into that stuff either. Yeah. But that's like, that is what this is kind of playing with. It's the idea of these family annihilations, you know, where it seems to usually be the father that kills their family, which I'm
that's
guessing
exactly
real life.
What happened.
I guess in real life, that's usually what happens too. But the kind of twist they have on it is that it seems to happen like out of nowhere. And there are these weird ties between them, you know, with these notes left by Long Legs that are like encoded.
Mm-hmm.
And so it creates this really interesting mystery from the get-go, because it seems to be like this guy, Long Legs, isn't present at any of these murder scenes. So it's like, what is driving these people to do this? So, which is like, it's a very interesting and very scary mystery to set up from the get-go.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, right away in the beginning, they have that little opening scene with Nicolas Cage and the little girl, which I don't know if you... I kind of immediately realized it was Micah Monroe's character.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, which I guess we can also talk about that real quick. Oh, wait. Did I even say what I meant to say?
I don't know. You were talking about family annihilation?
I think, yeah. I think we just saw this movie, so we haven't really had a chance to unpack it. We're kind of unpacking it right now. But it's the way that they, the kind of reveal. Okay, I remember what I was saying. So there's like this mystery that's going through this whole movie, like what's going on, what happened, and the explanation is like, oh, it's Satan. It's like, because it felt like there was a certain point where it was like, I guess the easy answer is like it has to do with devil worship or whatever. And I was like, no, this seems to be doing like much more interesting stuff with that. So they're probably going to turn that on its head or something. No, it's just, well, I mean,
to be fair, they do kind of turn it on its head.
They do. And really on retrospect, especially when thinking about Blackheart's daughter, it comes together. It is interesting, but it did feel like when Nicolas Cage just says "Hell, Satan," and you know bludgeons his own face into the desk, mm-hmm. I was like, okay, like it's just
what?
It's just
I loved
devil
it.
Shit. No, it's great. It's just there was I was kind of let down that it's oh, it's just devil worship. It's not trying to do anything else with it. But at the end of the day, it's like, I don't know. It still works. Like, not everything has to like subvert the tropes and everything. Like, you can still play in that space. And that was the thing is, I mean, I don't know if this is a Blackheart's daughter spoiler, but yeah, I was kind of just quickly skimming the plot just to like remind myself. And yeah, she says "Hail Satan" mm-hmm. in that movie, and then there are a couple characters who say "Hail Satan" in this as well. And it's like, oh, like I guess that was like deliberately tied together, and that's interesting. I'm there's probably some bigger explanation. Maybe he's like been interviewed about this and I'm just not in touch with all that shit.
I'm about to go down the Oz the rabbit hole, I really am.
But that's that makes it more interesting to me that it seemed like very deliberate to do that. Mm-hmm. And again, like what they actually do with it, like the whole story about him making these doll, like we don't need to like go in and explain it, because if you're listening to this part, you should have seen the fucking movie, you know. but everything that ties with the doll and the fucking weird sphere in its head, because I was thinking like they find that one doll that looks like what's her name, Shipka?
Kiernan Shipka?
Yeah, the actress who was also in Blackheart's daughter who shows up in this, which that was also an interesting way they tie together. When they find the doll and then they find this weird metal sphere in the head of the doll and they mention like cutting it open, they're like, oh, there's nothing inside. Did she wake up from that coma or whatever after they cut into that sphere?
I think so.
Okay. So that's really interesting. Like I guess I'm still trying to unpack what all that means, you know, because mm-hmm. it seems like destroying that, it breaks some kind of hold that it has on you.
Yeah, I guess it seems to be some sort of like object, like a voodoo doll sort of idea.
Yeah, it's some weird
but
vessel.
Like, yeah, so I think that ball is like what contains long legs, sort of.
It contains the devil.
Yeah,
well,
Jesus,
a lot later than I thought.
We gotta get pizza.
We do have pizza. So, yeah, I think, yeah, it's like I said, initially I was like, oh, that's like, because after all that buildup, I was like, oh, it's Satan. Okay.
I don't know. That didn't really have that effect for me, I think.
Yeah, I think I was expecting more subversion, and we didn't need it, because still the whole explanation, like the way her mother was involved, because it is interesting how Michael Monroe's character, from the get-go, she is such an interesting character, because you can see she's carrying this trauma from meeting Long Legs when she's a child. So she seems like very personally invested in this whole thing. And they're also playing with this idea that she's like kind of psychic.
Yeah,
I guess.
I think, literally just clicked in my head.
Yeah.
The whole her being psychic thing was because she is being controlled.
Because of the devil doll?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because
yeah.
She said, I think her mom said like, he'll only let you see what he wants you to see or something like that.
Okay.
So he's like, it's almost like Longlegs has like a window to whatever is happening with her because of the doll.
Yeah,
maybe.
That makes sense. There's a lot to unpack.
There is definitely a lot going on, and it's not even in a bad way. It's in a I need to investigate
it. No, I think it seems like his storytelling style, it is very dense, mm-hmm. Which is good. Mm-hmm. Like this movie is like really fucking packed with a lot of story, a lot of information. And it's kind of like, I mean, scene after scene, it's just like, it really keeps you on the edge of your seat. Like you just really want to see like what is going to happen next. Where is this going? And I really like the fact that the Longlegs character is just kind of lurking in the background the whole time, because you don't really see much of him until the end of the movie.
Yeah. And that the whole time, He was like in her basement.
Oh yeah.
Which is crazy to think about. Yeah. Did you not get that?
For fuck's sake, that's what I'm saying. Yes. Okay. I didn't pick that up.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, the mom was, like, the accomplice.
Okay, so, Jesus Christ. Yeah, because now I'm realizing, because they kept mentioning how something about him being downstairs, and I thought they were just referring to the devil, but, yeah, that makes sense. Look, okay.
Look, there's a lot. There's so much going on that I would be completely surprised if somebody got the whole movie the first go around. Yeah. I am so ready to watch this movie again. I would even go to theaters again to watch it.
Yeah.
I loved it that much.
I think, yeah, that's the thing, because we mentioned that when we talked about Blackheart's Daughter, that I think that movie would probably benefit a lot from watching it again once you have all the pieces, all the information. And I think that's true for this too, for sure.
This would make like a sick double feature at a drive-in.
Oh, yeah.
Like to have Blackheart's Daughter and then Long Legs. Oh, I would so watch that.
A devil double feature. I do think, like, I mean, you know, everyone's going to talk about Nicolas Cage and his performance. We all know he's a crazy motherfucker. Like, and the way that they, it's funny because it's so Nicolas Cage. Like, you can see him in that role. I mean,
nobody else could play Long Legs.
He's that fucking actor that it's like, what movie was it we talked about him? What fucking movie was he in that we talked about?
There's so many. Color Out of Space?
I think it was Color Out of Space. It's like, he is the kind of actor that I can imagine the director being like, all right, and be crazy. And he just like starts singing and dancing and doing all this weird shit. And it's like, perfect, got it. You know, it's like, you don't even need to write a script for that. It's just like, all right, go be Nicolas Cage. And yeah, he definitely does that in this fucking movie. But the added element of like the fucking makeup they put on him to make him like,
oh my God.
It's like, you can still kind of see, it's like, I can see you in there, Nikki. Like, I see you. But it does like mask it and make him into this like completely new character. It's really, I mean, he's fucking scary as shit.
Yes. The whole prosthetics, like the design and the prosthetics of the Long Legs character is so good.
Yeah.
So good. I feel like there's just like a little dash of Buffalo Bill there. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I could definitely see that. Yeah.
Yeah, just a little bit. And I found that just a little interesting too.
I mean, it is interesting that he's quote unquote the killer, but he never really gets his hands dirty, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah, very interesting way of telling the story.
He's kind of just working in the shadows. Yeah. And I think that is like, it's something that works really well, is like the mystery around that character. Like, what is it that drove him to do this shit? Like, what led up to it? I'm not saying I want to see it. Like, I'm not saying like we need an origin story.
No,
I think
no,
it works
please,
way better.
Please don't do
it. Works way better like this. But it is cool that like he is such a mysterious character, and then, you know, even when they capture him, there's like no resolution because he just fucking kills himself.
Yeah, that was crazy. Oh, and the way he like at the end just like hail Satan and like he just kisses.
It's cool. It's a good way to handle all that.
Yeah. And I'm just like super impressed with the art direction in this.
Yeah.
Loved it. Nailed it. Like the opening credits, so iconic. I loved it.
Yeah.
I was totally here for them opening up the frame very slowly.
Yeah, it was cool.
So good.
But I think it's funny that if it was any other actor, it's so easy for that to come off as like really silly. And I think that is the thing that you get with Nicolas Cage, is that he can be like a complete fucking nut and it's still just, it works, and you're just like, you know, riding along for that performance and just loving it.
Yeah, he can be silly in like the most serious way. Like,
yeah, and it's like, it's such a unique performance that nobody else can do.
Oh yeah, I would love to meet Nick Cage. Seriously, would.
I would not, because he's probably, you know, he would fucking ruin it somehow. Oh, I can only see it ending badly. It's like, you're not supposed to meet your heroes, you know.
I guess so.
But I don't know anything about him. Like, maybe he's like a super nice guy.
I'm sure,
I don't know.
I feel like there's a lot of really good people in horror.
Yeah.
You know, that's a whole other conversation, though.
Yeah. Yeah, the dolls were really fucking creepy. I didn't like them at all. When they first find the one curled up in the box, it was just like, what is going on with this thing? This thing fucking sucks. It was like missing a lot of hair and stuff. It was so weird looking.
Yeah, the way they found the doll was super interesting too. I loved the depiction of putting the cross on its side to be an X.
Yeah.
That was really interesting.
Yeah, and there's just like there's so many little details that just work so well. Like the way that she keeps talking on the phone with her mom. Oh, by the way, I did think it was cool that I don't think they like explicitly say what year it is, mm-hmm. but like everyone's using like payphones, and when they're in the FBI office, there's a giant picture of Bill Clinton in the back. It's like, oh, okay, 90s, got it. Yeah,
exactly.
Which is also like, I can appreciate it because this is like the perfect decade for like a horror setting, you know, because it's before cell phones came along and social media and like ruined everything and made everyone like way too connected, which...
Before Skibidi Toilet.
It's way before Skibidi Toilet. This is like during Crazy Frog.
I think it's before Crazy
Frog.
Oh
shit, before Crazy Frog and his weird little dick, yes. It's like a much purer time. But that's something I think a lot of horror directors talk about is how cell phones kind of ruin shit.
Yeah.
And you always have to come up with an excuse for like, oh, we don't have any service. Or
the internet's down.
Yeah, something like that. So this, we could have a lot more horror movies in the 90s.
Yes, I think that please. Would work well. I need more gritty 90s horror.
Yes, it's perfect. And it's really saying something that so much of the violence and everything happens completely off screen. You know, like they don't really show these murders. You get a little bit of the aftermath, which is in itself like very gruesome, but they let your imagination really do all the work. And I think, it kind of had me from the get-go when they're laying out the facts that, you know, this keeps happening. There's this weird pattern of these events. And yet it's like they're trying to figure out what the fuck caused these people to do this. It already sets it up as being something weird and supernatural while also being like really grounded and scary. Yeah. And I don't know. It's like... It is something that feels very unique. Like it has a very specific voice and tone that is there throughout this whole movie, and I felt like it never really let me down in that sense. You know, aside from what I said, but about the Satan shit. But even that, like, I don't know, it still kind of works. And I liked how there were these really good storytelling methods, like. I think I started to talk about this earlier. It's the way that she keeps talking to her mom, and there's like this weird relationship there where she keeps kind of getting out of going to see her. And when she finally does go and you see it's like this weird like hoarder house and everything, you can kind of right away get to the idea that like she just doesn't like being there. Like it feels like depressing and oppressive, and you can understand why she would want to avoid going there unless she absolutely has to. But at the same time, you know, her mom is doing all this awful shit to protect her daughter. Yeah. It's very interesting. And it all just works and ties together. It's just a really fucking good story.
Yeah, the shadowy figures make a comeback here. Like from, I don't want to spoil. I feel like if you're in the spoiler portion here, we're also spoiling Blackcoat's daughter too.
Oh,
so
boy.
Like it's in tiny ways. But the way that they handle showing these, like, quote-unquote monsters, where it's like you're seeing them, but you're not seeing them, love it.
Yeah, it's almost like something out of the corner of your eye, you know? Yeah, it's like I said, there are threads connecting the two movies, and I think they work extra well together. And it's so funny because, like, we didn't explicitly plan on watching The Blackcoat's Daughter before this. Mm-hmm. We were just kind of looking for something to watch last night. And it was like, oh, we might as well watch this. We're seeing Long Legs tomorrow. It's like, well, it was a pretty fucking good decision.
Yeah, it was like the best decision we could have made.
Yeah, so that really benefited it. And yeah, I think, I mean, I guess if you're listening to spoilers, you've probably seen Long Legs. If you haven't seen Blackcoat's Daughter, you probably want to go check it out.
Because
they work together super well. And I'm wondering if this is going to be some like unofficial series of movies. Maybe he's going to close it out with another one that's going to tie into these as well.
I don't know. I'd be down for it.
For sure. yeah, I understand the hype. It was great.
That's not important to talk about. I don't know what you're okay. talking about.
Sure. What else do you want to talk about?
I need to talk about how this was bothering me during the movie, but of course it sort of made sense at the end.
Okay.
Where they're like testing her in the beginning, like her psychic powers, obviously they were impressed.
Yeah.
They bring her on this big case. Mm-hmm. And then like at every turn, she is finding like evidence and stuff. And her boss or partner is like, no, I don't know why you're looking. It's like you hired her. And it's like during the movie, it was bothering me. It was like he keeps deflecting every piece of evidence that she keeps like throwing at him. He's like, you're looking too hard into it. And it's,
well, to be fair, I think like one of the things so interesting about Micah Monroe in this movie is like from the jump, every time you see her, it looks like she's like really fucking upset and like going through something.
Yeah, and like checked out, kind of.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, damn, I'm surprised that she made it to be. I guess because of her abilities or whatever, because it is like, you know, the testing and everything you have to go through, the psychological testing and stuff to become an FBI agent is pretty thorough. So it's like I was kind of surprised that she made it through that.
Oh,
you know
really?
What I mean?
I think I kind of took it as she has like such a stoic and like kind of checked out vibe that it's like maybe that benefits you, because like there's that scene where they're uncovering those like highly decomposed bodies in the bed and they're like, is she okay? And he's like, she's okay. Yeah. And then of course he like can't handle it.
Yeah.
but
I get it. And I think a lot of it probably is because of it's the long legs case that she's like personally invested in, you know?
Yeah.
Because they don't really, do they go into how long she's been an agent and everything? Because what was with that scene in the beginning? Was that like an unrelated, you know what I'm talking about?
What are you talking about?
When she's with that other partner and they go to that house and she's like, it's this house. He's in this house.
Oh, I think that's to set up her like psychic ability. Yeah.
But was that like just some unrelated crazy dude?
It might have been that, or maybe like a copycat or something. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. That was a good way to set up, you know, that there was something special about her, because she just knew. She was like, he's in that house.
Yeah.
And the other guy was like, we're not going to call it. Let me go check it out. And just gets fucking annihilated.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to talk about?
Yes.
Okay.
Sound design is so fucking good. Give me the creepy strings. It's just like these like, again, classic approach to sound design, like helping tell the story, is done so well.
Yeah, it is. I mean, everything. It's all the cinematography and the editing, the soundtrack. I think all the actors are really stepping up here. Like, it is just front to back. It's a fucking excellent, excellent movie.
Yeah, back to the art direction. Like, we get the chiaroscuro look again, the like Caravaggio style, and I'm obsessed with that now. I'm so obsessed seeing that in film and done so beautifully. I'm like already in line for his next movie, whatever it is. I'm ready.
Yeah, it lives up to the hype.
It definitely does. And the thing is I was sort of with you. Like, I'm tired of everyone talking about like, oh, we can't. And it's like, okay, hold on, chill. I have no idea what's going on yet. And I don't want to, anytime I saw like a Long Legs advertisement, I just like exited out. I was like, I don't want to see it. I don't want to know. And for me, that worked. It helped me because I didn't have expectations
going
into it.
I hate to admit it because I was super pumped for Maxine. Like, that was the big movie. And I was like, Long Legs, go over there. Like, I don't need that. Maxine, that's the shit. And then it turns out I was kind of disappointed with Maxine and then loved Long Legs.
I'm
so it's like,
so glad you said that, because I was going to say Long Legs gave me what Maxine left me starving for.
Yeah.
Like, totally. This is the movie of the summer.
Yeah. I just hate to admit it, because, like, horror people were being so fucking obnoxious about this shit that it's like, all right, fine. Like,
well,
I'm with you on this.
So this was Neon, right?
Yeah.
I think Neon is kind of, like, I might be a Neon head instead of, like...
Okay,
look, A24 is letting me down lately.
Yeah.
In multiple ways. I don't even get into all the AI shit.
Yeah.
But, okay, Neon, I'm ready. I'm ready.
Yeah, I definitely was thinking that because we saw some trailers beforehand of like other Neon movies, and I was like, all right, Neon.
Yeah.
Like, okay, maybe we need to be paying more attention to you.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm here for it.
No, I'm losing energy.
Oh, yeah. I think I'm good. Else? I think I covered everything.
Yeah.
Let's wrap up.
Okay. You can go to ghostbeast.com for all our links. You can search for Ghost Beast Pod. What?
Yeah, Ghost Beast Pod.
You can search for Ghost Beast Pod on all the social platforms and stuff. And you can follow Ghost Beast on Letterboxd, where we rank all of these movies. I already have an idea where I'm going to put this.
Hold on. Also, if you have any movies you want us to check out, email us at podcast@ghostbeast.com.
Look at you taking over the outro.
Yeah, well, it seems like every time we do these, it's like less and less of the outro. Also, rate us 5 stars and subscribe so you can get the episodes as soon as we release them.
Yeah, do that.
Please. Wow. Are you hungry? You're probably hungry. I gotta feed you. Yeah. Wow.
Wow. So what if we put this under Sleepaway Camp and above X?
Ooh.
That puts it above Psycho, which is like, damn, shots fired.
I agree, though. Yes.
All right, that puts it at number 5. So, yeah, lived up to the hype. You already stole my thunder. You can also email podcast@ghostbeast.com.
You can just edit it out.
Yeah, okay.
Go ahead. Just edit it
Maybe
out.
You should do the whole outro next
time.
Let's see if you can swing it.
I can swing it.
All right, bye.
Wait, no, go ahead.